Good morning. Extremely thankful for your presence. We're especially thankful for any and all of you that consider yourself as visitors. We're thankful for you coming out and joining with us as we sing songs of praise to God, as we offer up worship that we pray is pleasing in His sight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the 100th Psalm. Turn over to Psalm 100, if you would. It's your choice. My obligation to turn on
my mic, so thank you, Chuck. Psalm 100. So begin reading there in verse 1. The psalmist writes, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." As we read here in the 100th Psalm, we see an attitude that we are to have when we come before the Lord to offer up worship. That when we come before the Lord, we are to come together with joyful singing, with thankfulness in our heart, with gladness. We need to understand that it is truly our choice as to how we will serve the Lord, or as even to whether or not we will serve the Lord. If you go over to the book of Joshua, in the book of Joshua we have, of course, the conquering of the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua, and they've gone through all the land. Remember that Joshua began this at an ancient age, and he's gone through and led the people, and he's even older now. And he's giving these final words of encouragement and trying to get the people to serve the Lord faithfully. And as you look there in Joshua chapter 24, look there beginning in verse 14. Joshua, in giving these final words of encouragement and such to the Israelite people, he says in verse 14 of Joshua 24, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We oftentimes focus on that latter part. The choice that Joshua made for him and for those of his household, that they would serve the Lord. And we need to understand that we have that same choice lay before us today, that we can choose to serve the gods of the land in which we dwell. We can choose to serve the gods of those that were beyond the river, looking back to the days earlier before Abraham and during the days of Abraham and the gods that they followed after. Or we can choose to serve God. But we must understand that if we are to make this choice, it is one that is to be made with all of our heart. That we have to be completely and totally devoted to this choice. God will not accept half-hearted devotion. This is why Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 13, as the Apostle Peter is writing these letters, in 1 Peter chapter 1, then verse 13, he says, "Prepare your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." I want to focus this morning on the idea that Peter presents here, preparing your mind for action. That's exactly what Joshua was doing there in Joshua 24. That's exactly what the psalmist was saying there in Psalm 100. It is our choice, and we must prepare our mind for action. We must prepare our mind, we must prepare our heart for service to God. Too many today, we allow ourselves to just go with the flow. You know, well, this is the way the world is going. It's not such a bad thing. They're getting some pretty good results from this. And we just find ourselves just kind of going along. It's always interested me to look at certain historical things. And when we lived in Western Tennessee. We had the chance to go up to a lake there, and for the life of me, the name of it just left me. Real Foot. I knew it would come to me eventually. I knew it had feet. Real Foot Lake. Real Foot Lake was built during an earthquake. There was an earthquake that took place in the late 1800s there in that area of Missouri and Tennessee, Arkansas and Illinois. A very severe earthquake, one of the worst that the United States has ever endured. But thankfully, it was a very low populated area. But it was so severe that it caused the Mississippi River to flow backwards. And it caused this area to sink, and the Mississippi River filled up this lake. And you can go out there today, and there's still treetops out there. But there at Real Foot Lake, they have a lot of interesting information about the area and things. And they recorded all the different ways that the Mississippi River has flown, has gone down through, and the changes that have been made in the Mississippi River throughout its history, and how it was just constantly going and changing. And that's the thing with the river, is it's constantly changing in the way that it goes until mankind comes along and thinks that we can control it with dams and locks and things of that nature and such. But, you know, a river is constantly changing because it goes the path of least resistance. When you look at the religious world today, we find that it is a constant changing organism, isn't it? As an organization, it's constantly changing. It's changing in its direction. It's changing in its focus. It's changing in the way that it does things. But the Word of God, we read in the Scriptures, remains forever. God's Word, God's will never changes. As we're studying in our Bible class on Sunday morning, looking there at this survey of the Bible, one of the things we're going to be able to see throughout this study is the fact of God's plan from the very beginning. And we noted that in the class this morning, looking at that promise that was made to Abraham that through him all nations would be blessed, that messianic promise that was given hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ. God's plan has been the same throughout. And we as His people need to make the choice, and it is our choice, to prepare ourselves for action. You see, one has never been able to serve God merely by going with the flow. Think of Noah, if you would. Noah was commanded to build an ark of gopher wood. Now, there are a lot of people that have tried to tell me that there were no boats built before Noah, that he built the first boat, and I think that's just about the silliest thing that you could ever imagine, that you've got thousands of years that have gone on in the history of mankind, that you've got those that are already dealing with working with metals, and they've learned how to make tents, and they've learned how to shepherd flocks and things of that nature, and they've never noticed a couple of sticks floating on a river and decided, hey, what if we tied those together? Well, that makes it a lot easier to get from point A to point B. But Noah was commanded to build an ark. The rest of the world was not building arks, was it? When God said, I'm going to bring destruction upon this earth, the rest of the world was laughing at Him, mocking Him, ridiculing Him, thinking He was crazy, just like you would today if I came up here and said, the Lord told me to build an ark and He's going to destroy the world by flood. And you saw a bunch of lumber out there at the end of the parking lot. And what are you doing? I'm building an ark. You're crazy. That's exactly the way the world looked at him. What if Noah had gone with the flow? But Noah chose to serve the Lord. He obviously chose to serve the Lord from an early age. Even when we look at the world and the way that it's going, and it seems that everyone has come to a consensus on something. I read an article this morning. And asked the question, would Jesus believe in evolution? And then he went through and said, Jesus said, I am the truth. And that if you're going to really believe in truth, then you've got to believe in evolution because science has proven it beyond any reasonable doubt. And I chuckled to myself. It's like, no, you haven't proven anything. And the things that you use as proofs are full of things that are full of reasonable doubt. It's all guesswork. And I appreciated one of the comments that someone made at the end that, you know, that looked at evolution as a system of faith and then noticed all the ridicule that they endured because of that. Going with the flow will never be pleasing in the sight of God. Preachers sometimes have individuals call up and say, well, I had this question presented to me and what does the church teach on this particular thing? Or you'll be talking with someone about something and go, well, that's just Church of Christ doctrine. And it's shocking to some people, but then it amazes me that some of those people that present this idea of being shocked, they're, in their own mind, have similar views. And the thing is, you've got an entire generation of people who have grown up in the church, and they just present these things. Well, that's what the Church of Christ teaches. And they present the church as a denomination just like everyone else. They have no true convictions of their own that this is what the Bible teaches. This is what God has said. I appreciated Brother Nathan in the script reading this morning and bringing out that point that with every temptation Jesus faced, He gave a thus says the Lord. He said, it is written. But too many times we catch ourselves saying, well, the preacher said this, or the elders have taught this, and we don't have our own conviction. And what we find ourselves doing is we're going with the flow, and we may be going in the right direction. But if we're not going in the right manner, if we're going on someone else's shoulders, if we're following, grabbing a hold from a tow rope, we're not getting there in a way that's pleasing to God. And so we need to understand that it's necessary for us to prepare our minds for action, as Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 1. If one is where he is only because of his mother or his father or his spouse. Well, I'm a member of this church because mom and daddy were members of this church, and their mom and daddy were members of this church, and it's just a family tradition to go to church here. Your faith is in danger of hellfire. If you're not devoted to God, if you're not preparing your mind for action, if you're just going because someone else said to, it's not any good. Read an interesting illustration of a puppet. If a puppet is committing sin, is that puppet guilty of sin? Well, he's just doing it because someone else is making him do it, you know. He has no control, no way to control his actions. And if we're doing maybe the right things just because mom and daddy told us that's how we need to do it, or if we're following through with certain things because that's how the church has always done it, and we haven't studied to show ourselves to God to where we are approved. When we're governed by the Word of God, when we truly have God's Word dwelling in our heart and it's guiding us in all things, then and only then will we be able to stand in the face of the various winds of doctrine. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's look there in verse 2, a passage that you're all, I'm sure, rather familiar with. But let's think about it for just a moment. Paul encourages Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 to preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We oftentimes look at that in season and out of season as when it's popular, when it's not popular. But the thing is, we need to make sure that we have an understanding of the Word of God, that we have it in our heart to where we can stand firm against false teaching. I've mentioned it time and time again as we've been looking at the second epistle there to the church in Corinth. They were dealing with false teachers, and it was necessary for the members of the church to know the Word of God themselves so that they wouldn't fall prey to those that were trying to pervert the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how many generations have come up in the Lord's church that have really no true knowledge of the Word of God themselves? They are what they are simply because that's what their parents were. That's what the preacher says they need to do. They haven't studied to show themselves to be approved to God. You see, as Christians, we can't go with the flow. We also need to understand that it's dangerous to live by default. You know, it's interesting. I am in no way a computer whiz. There are a number of individuals that seem to have this idea that I can do anything with a computer, and I know enough to know how much I don't know. That's my thing. And I play that up a lot, especially with my parents, with my dad, because that means that Jeff and Dan get all the computer phone calls on, you know, why is my computer messed up? Well, I don't know. Why don't you call Dan? Why don't you call Jeff? And I guess I've done that enough that, that's just his default setting. But it interests me when people get computers and they install programs. And whenever you install a program on a computer, it always, you can do the default settings or you can do custom settings. And default settings are the safe way, usually. You know, these are the things that, well, if we have these things set up on your computer, then this program is going to run properly and you're not going to have any problems. But when you run on the default settings, it doesn't always run the way you want it to run. It doesn't always run the way that's best for you. I'm afraid too many Christians have their lives on the default setting. That they're just going back and just cruising through, taking no real action. Well, I need to attend the services, and so I do that. And really with the default, it's like it's the least knowledge necessary. When you choose to do the default settings on a program on a computer, it means I don't know enough to really go and do any tweaking to where it might work better for me, to where it might do more of what I want it to do. And it's a sign of a lack of knowledge, a lack of interest. And like I said, a lot of Christians, they have so little knowledge that they go with the default. Well, I know if I attend, and if I give, and if I partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm doing all right. But we fail to realize that is not pleasing to God. God has never wanted people to just kind of go through and just kind of live life on the default setting. That let others decide what may or may not be right for them. When the serious issues of life present themselves to us, it's the height of folly to put them off and go, well, I'll deal with that later. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 24, we have one of the many times that the Apostle Paul is put on trial there before he faced the end of his life. In Acts chapter 24, we have him there before Felix. And as we look there in verse 25, as Felix and his wife Drusilla were discussing things, as we see there in verse 24, Paul is speaking about faith in Christ Jesus. In verse 25, but as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present. When I find time, I will summon you. That's the way a lot of people are today. You know, I know it's big and I'll deal with that later. I'm just not where I need to be as a Christian to deal with that, and I'll put that off and I'll deal with that later. And it becomes our default setting to just, well, I'll let so-and-so deal with that. When problems arise in a local congregation, well, we'll let brother and sister so-and-so deal with that. They've dealt with these problems before. We'll let them deal with that. Or when there's elders in a congregation, well, we'll let the elders deal with that. What happens when that brother and sister so-and-so die? And everybody in the congregation has continually sat there and said, well, we'll let brother and sister so-and-so deal with that. There's no one prepared. There's no one prepared for action. It's like going out onto the field of war, and you've only got one individual that's willing to take action, that's willing to lead. What happens when he dies? Why do you think it was back in the older days that the first thing they would try to do is to kill the leaders? Because it would throw the troops into mass confusion. And oftentimes they turn around and go home. And we find ourselves as a local church sometimes that we've got a core group of individuals that deal with problems, and we just keep passing it off to them. But again, we as Christians need to study to show ourselves approved to God. To study ourselves. Brother Brian is encouraging you to study these lessons. There is a lot of information in these lessons. A lot of needful information. A lot of these things, some of you might look and go, I remember studying that when I was 5. I remember learning that when I was 10. It amazes me how quickly we can lose things if we don't keep ourselves abreast on it. I don't know anything else about it. I know my parents believed a lot about him. They talked about him sometimes. I don't really remember what they said. You see, it goes back to what we read there in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're to prepare our minds for action. If you want to be pleasing to God, you've got to prepare your mind. It's just like in a marriage. There are many individuals in this auditorium that have been married longer than Anna and I, and I'm sure that love is a choice. Love is not something you fall in or out of. Love is something you choose to do. and you set your mind, I'm going to love this person. We have a couple in the back that's preparing. That's setting their mind on loving one another for the rest of their lives. And it's going to be a constant choice to get up every day and to say, Dan, I love you. Stacy, I love you too. And it's a choice that we make in every moment of our life to love our spouse, even when they're not lovable. I love that there's other families that understand that. Because sometimes we're not lovable. Sometimes we say things, sometimes we do things, sometimes we act in a way that it's hard to love. Can't tell you how many times I've had to tell my children, I love you, but I don't really like you right now. Not in the way that you're doing these things. That's not something that's acceptable. I'll always love you, but I won't approve of what you're doing. It's a choice that we make. And we must choose to prepare ourselves to serve God. When it comes to our Bible studies, we need to choose to prepare ourselves, to set our mind to action so that we can be prepared in the Bible class, so that we can be able to participate. And at the end of these things, we have a much clearer knowledge of the Word of God. I want you to stop and think in your own life. How many times have you said to yourself, I'd teach a Bible class if I knew more about the Bible? Now, I know that there are those present who have said that. I'm sure that there are a lot that I don't know of that have thought that. That I would be willing to teach a class if I knew more about the Bible. Well, this is an excellent opportunity on Sunday morning to know more about the Bible, to get a thorough understanding from beginning to end, to be able to dig deeper. Now, you're not going to get it all here on Sunday morning in the Bible class. Brian has been very clear with that. We're limited on time. But you have 7 days to look at each of those lessons, to devote yourself to a study of those things that have been presented to where you can be a workman that is not ashamed, that can accurately handle the Word of God. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's begin reading there in verse 10. The Apostle Peter says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. When you see that word, therefore, that means go back and read what's before it. See why he's saying, therefore, this. And you go back and you look back in verse 5. Applying in all diligence. Just say work. Hard work. In all hard work. In your faith, apply moral excellence. Moral excellence, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Then perseverance and godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. For if these qualities, verse 8, are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, because of these things, because you've added these things, be all the more hardworking, all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. You see, God has chosen to save all those who choose him. That's his predestination. He predestined any who choose him, who will submit themselves to his will, they can obtain salvation. And Peter is saying we've got to make sure that we're walking in a deliberate fashion, in a way that is pleasing to God, that we choose him, and it takes hard work. It takes effort. It takes preparing our mind for action. In Ephesians chapter 5, there beginning in verse 15, we see that there are difficult days that are ahead of us, days that are evil, and it's necessary that we walk carefully. In Ephesians chapter 5, there in verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be careful how you walk. Any of you parents are going to understand this? I spent a lot of time cleaning up Austin's room and providing him with everything he needed to keep it wonderfully nice and neat. And you know what? It stayed that way for a while. But he's a 5-year-old boy with a lot of little action figures, and he likes to play with those action figures. And those action figures oftentimes come along with little guns or little lightsabers and all these other little things. And he's got a nice little collection of cars going on. And so when I go into his room to give him a kiss at night, I am careful of how I walk. Now my daughter, she's 12. She likes to write. She likes to wear jewelry. She likes to leave her earrings laying around. She likes to sit on her floor. And she likes to leave whatever she's doing right there in the middle of her floor. And so when I go to give her a kiss at night, I am careful how I walk. For the floors in my children's bedroom are evil. But I know that. I know these things are there, and so I'm careful in how I walk. That's what Peter's trying to tell us. We know the world is full of evil. We know that the devil is walking around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And therefore Peter tells us to be on the alert. To walk carefully. When I walk into Austin's room, we put some green lights there because he likes green, and there it makes a nice night light and it puts a nice glow on the floor. So I can see and I look, but I'm careful in where I step because there's been a couple of times where I've walked in there a little too fast. He doesn't have those toys anymore. We know what the world is all about. It takes preparation. Watchful preparation. Study. Do you think Jesus was able to give book, chapter, and verse, that he was able to give "it is written" just because he was the Son of God? Now, if you go back and look through what we know of his early life, he was raised in God's Word. He continued to grow in favor and in stature amongst man and with the Lord. For us to be able to stand against the difficulties of this world, we've got to prepare our minds for action. And it begins with saying, "I will serve the Lord." As Joshua encouraged the Israelites, I encourage you, choose today. Oh, I'm not really ready. No, today is your day for choice. Today is the day for you to choose, "I will serve the Lord," or "I'm going to serve the gods of this world." Prepare your mind for action. The church needs you. The Lord desires you. The local congregation is in desperate need for you. So prepare your mind for action. I want to look at one more passage of Scripture. Then the lesson will be yours. Going back to the first epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 15. Note those five words. What does it say there? The New American Standard Bible says, "Take pains with these things." That goes along with what we read in other passages there as Paul was writing to Timothy to be diligent to show himself approved to God. That hard work. Paul is saying, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. Now in the New American Standard Bible, you might be looking at that and going, well, that word "absorbed" is in italics. And that means that it was something that was put in there by the translator to try to give what they thought was clarification. So let's just drop that out. What does it say? Be in them. Isn't that what absorption is? The water's in the sponge because the sponge has absorbed the water. Be in the Word. Take pains with these things. Be in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. It takes hard work to truly have the Word of God dwelling within you. It takes diligent effort to truly know what the Word of God teaches. It does not take coming and sitting in a pew on Sunday morning. That can help. It certainly won't hurt. But it will not get you where you need to go. Each and every one of you need to prepare your mind for action. There comes a time when the training wheels have to come off. There comes a time when the crutches have to be laid aside. There comes a time when men of great faith and understanding of the Word of God die. And as I hate quoting country music, but who's going to fill their shoes? Especially don't like George Jones. But who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to take their place? Paul was grooming Timothy and encouraging him. Paul had just days left, months left when he's writing Second Timothy. And as he's writing these things, he's encouraging him. You be diligent. You work hard. You take pains in these things. You be what you need to be because I won't always be here. As he wrote in Second Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I'm going on. The work is left to you. Prepare your minds for action. Because we know that the days that we're living in are evil. Preparing your minds means you make the choice every day of your life. That you make the choice, today I will serve the Lord. My sister-in-law, Tanya, we decided for Christmas as a family one time that we would make gifts for whoever's name we drew, and she made a wonderful cross-stitch plaque for me of Joshua 24 and verse 15. And again, it's something that we read a lot and we think a lot about and we sometimes quote, but truly, the choice is yours. Are you going to serve the Lord? Truly serve the Lord? It means more than just coming to church on Sundays and partaking of the Lord's Supper and giving as you have prospered. It takes daily sacrifice, daily effort, daily studying and reading from God's Word. Are you going to prepare yourself for action in the Lord's service? Because we need to understand that God will not accept anything less. There is no such thing as an inactive reserve or active reserves in Christianity. You're either in action as a child of God, working, striving, teaching, encouraging in His local church and your life as a Christian, or you are not pleasing to Him. And the invitation is offered to you this morning. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then today is your opportunity to come forward and confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, be buried in baptism. You will be preparing your mind and your body for action, preparing yourself for service to the Lord. When you obey the gospel, you're saying, I am now your servant. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm ready to do your bidding. I'm ready to do your will. Perhaps you've obeyed the gospel at some point in time in your life and you've been sitting on the sidelines, watching everybody else do the work, watching everybody else grow as they should as Christians, and you've been keeping the status quo. Then I'm here to say that you are not pleasing in the sight of God and you need to repent and return. Today is the day to prepare your mind for action. We ask you to do so as we stand and as we sing.